Wow, what an awesome privilege to be here. Good evening, brethren, Brian, brothers and sisters in Christ. Jan and I have been given a stewardship of this ministry that the elders have sanctioned, and I'd like to share some of that with you. And I hope that after the great morning service, whether you were here in the corporate worship, or serving in the nursery, or in the hallway, or in a classroom, that you went home to a warm, cozy place, enjoyed a good meal, maybe even a healthy one, felt the security of a loving family. These are great blessings from the Lord. May I venture to say that today across our wonderful land, there are possibly hundreds or maybe thousands of children that weren't sure if they'd have a meal today, let alone a healthy one, or had a place to rest their little heads, or where they might sleep tonight, or which home they'd be in tomorrow, or the next day, or next week, or next year. Why? It's one word, sin. Sin of the parents. Because of the downward spiral of American life and family, if that can even be defined anymore, what a family is, there's been an upward trend in broken homes, displaced children, etc. As Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, in the last days, perilous times, men shall be lovers of their own selves without natural affection. Is there anything more non-natural than to not want to care for your children? That's natural affection. Because they're your natural children. It's a somewhat rhetorical question, but my point is there's a great need, but exists in America a great church, and of course we have a great Savior, Jesus. The Least of These ministry was born out of a need that arose in this church a few years ago. Foster parents were needed in a situation, but in our church of 400 or 500, there were none. Well, I'm glad to report that since that time, a few families are now licensed for foster care. An adoption is going through, and the Lopteens cannot be here. They have the flu, but they're adopting a little girl, Lainey, to add to their three boys. Others are seriously considering fostering to adopt. And over the past 9 months at our three fellowship dinners, around 20 of you adults are either moving in this direction or have expressed an interest in learning more. In the parable passage where Jesus speaks of visiting the prisoner, the sick, feeding, clothing the poor, he uses a phrase that I believe somewhat relates to fostering and adoption. You know what that phrase is in that passage? I was a stranger and you took me in. When you think about it, unless you're taking in a relative, right, or the child of a friend, if you take a foster child or adopted child, you're basically, that child could say to you, I was a stranger, and you took me in. Janet?
Tonight, we have a little treat for you. We're presenting a few of the various faces of fostering families and adoption families. So we have a video that we'll show.
I had a foster cousin in 3rd through 5th grade, and it was a really awesome experience because he was always so special. He always told us everything about why he was fostered, and it got us to understand fostering more. Having a foster child in my family helped me to understand how blessed I am. Even though it was challenging, I enjoyed being able to help a child that has had so many difficulties in the past. I am glad I got to minister to one of thousands of foster children. So if you are considering fostering a child, I think you should, because it was a really great experience for my family and for me. Matthew 25:40, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me.
That was done by my wife and two 11-year-old girls. One of them's here, our granddaughters. So, okay, BYOC, bring your own chair. Okay, so put four over here. We're going to have to do a little question and answer now. I told the brothers and sisters here they got 4 minutes now because of that 20-minute warning. So at the 10 seconds, so put four here. At the 10-second mark, well, the 3-minute and 50-second mark, I'm going to, don't be mad at me, I'm going to say something like 10 seconds, but don't. We it looks like we have some time because the LOP teams are supposed to be here, so we picked up 4 minutes. I mean, I feel bad for them. Okay, so where's? No, because they're gonna come. Yeah, it's. Yeah. Thank you. All right, you ready? This is so what we did. We try to give some. Ask some questions that might answer some questions, so we'll see how it goes. Scott and Beth Sadoff, what challenges have you faced on this journey, and how can our church body support and encourage you specifically?
Okay, just a couple words, introduction here. We fostered a 10-year-old girl for 4 months from April to August 2017, and 18 months ago, she was moved to be with her brother's foster family. We still see her frequently as we are her substitute caregivers. Also, the foster family comes to Brian occasionally, as they did this morning.
What challenges along the way have we faced? We have never had children before, and so starting with a 10-year-old was a little challenging. For example, setting a bedtime. We thought 9:30 was an appropriate time when really 8 was more appropriate for school nights. Schoolwork and trying to teach the value of an education. As a child who missed a lot of school, we insisted that she went to school unless she had a fever, threw up, and we had to see it, or she was bleeding. And this she challenged often. Teaching spiritual concepts to an unchurched child with trauma was very challenging. And then working with the foster care system is a challenging experience. There is paperwork, and I don't mean just a little, there is a lot of paperwork. There's numerous appointments, there's doctors, parents' visits, therapy appointments, worker visits, court training, just much more than that. And then the system, there's uncertainty and surprises of what is coming next by the workers or by the judge. For example, when they moved our girl, we didn't even know it was coming. So that was quite a shocking experience. And probably the biggest challenge was the emotional roller coaster. So this is the part I always cry on. So it's a struggle to watch a child wonder, what's going to happen? Where is life going to be? What's my future going to hold? And then to have to say goodbye. It's just a challenge.
What are our current challenges? Well, trying to understand our current role and follow God's leading, such as we don't have a child right now, but are still very involved with her and her current foster family. We give support, advice, encouragement, and our sounding board to the foster family, as well as we watch her frequently. Another challenge that we have currently is, after seeing or watching her, as Beth alluded to, the emotional struggle of saying goodbye again, not knowing what will happen to her or if we will see her again. Another challenge that we have is, what is our next step? Do we foster another child? And if so, when? Another challenge we have is being a witness to this foster family. and not only to them, but also to the biological family, parents who we see occasionally. And then lastly, a current challenge is trying to fellowship, encourage, and catch up with the foster parents and kids and help them feel welcomed when they attend Brynn, and at the same time trying to worship and not be distracted by them during worship on Sunday mornings.
So this leads us to how, as a church body, you can support and encourage us. First of all, pray for us, for wisdom and guidance in our current role, which to us seems very strange and very different and very difficult since we don't have direct care of our former foster daughter, yet we have a huge influence in her life. And also about the future role in fostering. Pray also that we can be a witness to the foster parents, the children, the biological parents, and others in the system. And pray above all that we honor and glorify God in our journey. And how you can help is by being willing to introduce yourself to the current foster family who comes, get to know them, and to love on them.
If you have any questions or want to hear more of our story, come see us. We'll be at the table Monday and Tuesday night. Thanks.
That was awesome. Four minutes, 1 and 660 milliseconds. That's awesome. Okay, Bob and Amanda McLaughlin. What motivated you to get involved in foster care and potential adoption? What was the impetus? And where are you in this foster adoption journey? And how to ask the church to pray. How to pray.
As he said, I'm Bob. Amanda Jackson's back there. Amanda's going to do the talking. I'm just going to stand up here and look good with her.
We are at the very beginning stages of fostering. Being at this stage, we have been filling out paperwork and filling out paperwork and filling out paperwork. Yes, there's a lot of paperwork. We have chosen to go through Wolverine Foster Care Agency, which is near us. We live in Woodhaven. Having it close allows for the convenience of getting to appointments and turning things in when needed. At our first orientation meeting, they cover what is involved in the whole process. This meeting goes through what will be involved throughout the journey. After the orientation, we were quickly assigned a social worker. She has been so helpful and encouraging to us. To be officially licensed as foster parents, there are a few requirements. There are 9 classes that Wolverine requires that we must take, and you can take them individually or you can lump them together, so we're taking them in 2 Saturdays. Our first one is coming up this coming Saturday. Our first group of classes, like I said, is Saturday. CPR is required, fingerprinting and background checks, which is all at no cost to us. We have started down this path because we have been praying about growing our family and have struggled, but the Lord has been leading us to foster care. At this point, we are looking at fostering to adopt a sibling group, but we're open to whatever the Lord may have for us. Our son Jackson currently prays that he will have 100 brothers and 10 sisters.
Every night, almost.
Yeah. I don't think that we'll have that many, but what a blessing it would be to have many children through our home to hear about Jesus. So current prayers that you could pray for us would be knowing the best way to discipline our son, because through fostering, you can't spank. So you have to be creative in style. Getting our house ready to foster. We just moved in November, so there are a lot of things that we have to do to prepare for that, and for the Lord to grow us and strengthen us in preparing for this new journey. Thank you.
All right, you guys get 15 minutes. No. Okay, so.
No.
You got 4. That 4 is fine. Okay, so Matt and Abby Dahl, who just got introduced earlier. What motivated you to get involved in foster care and potential adoption, and where are you in this foster adoption journey, and how can the church pray for you?
Hi, I'm Abby.
So I was born into a home that was filled with love and many, many foster children. My parents were foster parents for 15 years. Throughout my life, I've had about 50 foster sisters and 3 foster brothers. There were 2 years where we had 9 children, and I'm still in contact with many of them. So foster care was always natural for me, and God blessed me with a husband who shares the same heart.
Hello, I'm that husband. One of the things that motivated us, or motivated me to get into foster care, is the most important response that I think can give is the gospel. We who were once following the pattern of this world have been redeemed by Christ and adopted as sons and daughters of God through Christ. Because of the gospel, I am now enabled to show Christ's love to a child who may have never experienced it before. And a pro is you literally have a captive audience to share the gospel to because they're in your house, they're not going anywhere. So you can just preach the gospel every day, every minute. My second reason is because I am pro-life. I realized early on that being pro-life means opening your life to the lives of others, which for us means stepping up and offering our home and support and care to a child who is categorized as unwanted. God has blessed us with a home and the ability to provide love and stability. These are the things that most of the children we've fostered have never experienced before, the things that we get to take for granted every day.
We got our foster care license 2 years ago. We both work full-time, and we were not in a routine to care for children. So we started doing respite care for weekends and up to 1 to 2 weeks at a time, but we quickly realized that what would work best for us would be to have a child full-time so that we could enroll them in school or daycare nearby and to get more into a routine. Our last sweet child that we had for close to a year went back to his home just about 2 months ago. So while he was with us, we completely fell in love with him. And God truly blessed us by allowing us to establish a good relationship with his dad during that time so that we are still able to see him about once a month. As you can see, I'm currently expecting our first child, and I'm due in about a month. We currently have told our agency to place us on hold for a few months while we adjust to a new normal, and we continue to pursue a relationship with our sweet boy and his dad in the meantime.
During this time that we don't have a child in our home, I found myself advocating for foster care more and helping others see their capabilities to do foster care, or just simply guiding them in ways that they can assist others with foster care without being licensed themselves. The objection that I hear the most from people when I tell them we do foster care is simply, I love kids too much and we get too attached to them. Every time I hear this, I think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane in Luke 22:42, where he says, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will, yours be done. What a glorious passage to remind us that our Savior submitted himself to the will of God. Foster care is not easy. Loving the hurt and inviting them into your life will never be simple. Working with our last foster son was exhausting. Yet through it, God caused me to grow as a husband, a future father, and as a Christ follower. You may not have a success story or a Hallmark movie made about the turnaround of your child, but perhaps God isn't asking you to change a child's life, but to allow him to change yours. If you don't have children or work full-time and are wondering how you would do or become involved in foster care, there are a lot of resources out there, and we'd love to be one of those for you. So if you'd like to buy us lunch, we'd be more than happy to, meet for lunch. Meet for lunch, sorry. We'd love to talk to you. We'll be at the table afterwards.
Thank you. 1 minute left. Okay, so... all I can say is if you have, if you'd like more info or have questions, contact one of us. I just encourage you to do whatever you would do when you're considering a course of action. Pray, discuss, look biblically, and ask the Lord what he wants you to do. Thank you.